for the last 4 or 5 weeks, and I do this every year, is I really like to take a look at the trends that are going on. So the end of a year, old year, and the beginning of the new year, I look at trends. What is the trends that are going on, especially the trends in the church? And I like to take a look at those because I want to know kind of where God is at work and what it looks like that He's going to be doing in the days ahead. I'm going to make a statement. I want you to grab hold of it very, very clearly. Many churches today are trying to reach and minister to a world that no longer exists. And therefore, they eventually die. Now, what do I mean by that? If I were to ask you, I've got a great idea. I'm going to ask you to invest some of your time and energy and effort to brand new telephone booths, that they are modern. There's never been one like it. It's an upscale from any you've ever seen. Would you buy stock in my market? Any takers on that? You know, when you get off of the airplane, it used to be that you would go and everybody make a beeline for the phones along the wall. Now you can go make a call and you never have to wait in line. That is, if you can even find a phone on the wall. It's a different world. It's a different world. And many churches are still trying to sell telephone booths, and that's not the world anymore. So churches have to always be looking at what God is doing and what the world is like in the coming days. Any of you remember revival meetings? Some of you remember. Old enough to remember? Do we have any revival meetings now? Billy Graham was a tremendous revivalist, but you don't see that anymore. Except in some other countries, we still find it effective. Any of you remember the bus ministry? You know, the strength of a church is how many buses you could line up in the parking lot, whether they ran or not. You know, this is our status. How many are running buses now? See, we live in a different world every year. And the world is changing faster than it's ever changed in history. And we do not want to be a church that's trying to minister to the 50s and 60s and 70s or even the 80s. It is a different world. Now, mark it down clearly. The purpose of the church has never changed and never will change. Jesus founded the church, and the purpose of the church is still the same. The purpose of this church is the same purpose that it was in the book of Acts. The methods and the ways in which we minister is always changing. The vision of the church is always changing. And we can never, never minister effectively to a world that has already gone by. So, one of our jobs is always to look around and find out, where are the trends? What is our world like today? How do we reach out in a world that we live in today? That is different than when I first started in ministry. Even though I've been in ministry a long time and I came here and started all over again, I could not use my textbook of my past ministry. It won't work. If I tried to keep doing the things that I did when I first started the ministry, I would not be moving forward. I always have to be looking at how God is working in the world today and the most effective way to take the purpose of the church and move it forward. Jesus understood moving forward. In the passage that was read this morning, Jesus, when he was 12 years old, made his first trip to the temple after his birth. And there at 12 years old, going with a big caravan of people into the Jerusalem for the Passover. And they didn't realize that Jesus wasn't with them on the way home. And when they went back to find him, he was there in the temple carrying on conversations that were astonishing to the leaders of that day. And then at the close of that verse, or that chapter that we read this morning, is Luke chapter 2, verse 52. We do not know much about the life of Jesus after age 12 in the temple and he went home. It is silent until he shows up with his ministry. And in that silent years, we know this one thing, which is very important. I want you to look at it in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. And I want you to read it with me. And I want you to memorize it. And we're going to unpack five very important words in this one verse. So would you read it with me? And Jesus increased in wisdom. Say that one more time. And okay, you got that? Take it off the screen now. And let's see how well you do. I want you to memorize this. And Jesus give yourself a great hand. You did it without it. Okay, bring it back up on the screen. There's five words I want us to look at there. The first one is increased. A very interesting word. Increase sometimes is translated as grew. Jesus grew or he increased. Really, the word is used in a way of moving forward. He continued to move forward, and not only just move forward, it's like moving forward and blazing a brand new trail to where you've never been before. Did you catch that? Jesus increased or he grew or he moved forward into a new territory he had never gone before. 2018 is new territory. We've never gone there before. And to blaze that trail is moving forward. It's to grow or to increase or to move forward. That's exactly what he's talking about. So the question that you ask yourself after you've memorized this and you meditate on it, and I'd like for you to look at that every day this week, to increase. How do you need to increase? How do you need to move forward? You know, one of the illustrations I've used, and you will maybe recall it, is the processionary caterpillar. Do you remember the story of the processionary caterpillar? In fact, you can go on Google and read about it. John Fabre is one that did a study of the processionary caterpillar. They call that because they follow one another. And he lined them up on the flower pot with their favorite food right in the middle. He thought, I wonder how long they'll go around and around before they ever go get that food that's just inches away. You remember how long it was, don't you? How long was it before they went to get food? How long was it? They never did. They keeled over and died going around and around and around. I've just described a lot of churches. The same old thing over and over and over. They're busy. Oh, they're busy. The calendar's full of going round and round. That may sound like your life. You get up in the morning, go round and round, go back home, start doing the same thing, and it goes nowhere. That is not what Jesus is doing. He was moving forward. The challenge here is to look forward to see what God wants to do in your life and in my life. And you do not move forward. And here's one thing that keeps us from this a lot of time. You do not move forward without changing. And most do not like to change. You've heard it said before, the only people that really like change is a baby with a dirty diaper. They like change. But that's about it. We kind of resist change. Henry Blackaby says, you cannot go with God and stay the way you are. Let that soak in. You cannot go with God and stay the way you are. We've had a lot of change in our church. Those of Northgate are to be commended. Every time you see some of them, you ought to give them thanks. Because it is a different world here now for every one of them. It's a different world. All of you that were a part of Northgate when we came, would you just raise your hand? I want you after service to go and just say thank you for welcoming us in. More of them, by the way, are the next hour. So don't think that none of them are here. It's a lot of change. You know, one thing I heard when we moved over here, how many of you attended over at the Eastbrook location before we moved here? How many of you attended over there? Okay. Now, you know what I heard when we moved over here? I sure do miss our little place over there. We're not going to go forward unless we're willing to change. Now, you don't change just for change's sake. You look at how we need to move forward in these areas. First, Jesus grew in what? Tell me. He grew in wisdom. Okay, here's the question to ask yourself. What do you need to know that you do not know now? What do we as a church need to know that we do not know now? What do you need to know about God that you don't know now? Do you think you know everything there is about God? What do you need to know about God that you do not know now? What about the purpose of your life? Do you know everything there is to know about the reason why God put you on planet Earth? Here's a challenge. Spend some time and write out on an index card, the purpose of my life is, and finish that. And build that on the scripture. Don't just pull it out of thin air. Build that on God's word. Why did he put you on planet Earth? One of the greatest mistakes and sorrows and sadness and sins in the world is going to your grave and miss the whole point of it all. Are you on track? Are you on track with the very purpose that God has put for you in this world? Do you need to learn some things about prayer? Could you get better at prayer? If you go in my library, in my office, you'll find a number of books, and they will spell out the areas over the years that I said, I want to get better. I have 100, and I count them this week, I have 176 books in my library on prayer. Now, just reading a book on prayer is not going to change my prayer life, but it's a good start to know what I don't know now. Because prayer is kind of like a bottomless well. You can never get to the total depth that God has in mind for you. You see all kinds of books about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You'll see a large number of books on leadership. Because some years ago I realized, I've got to know how to lead. You'll find a lot of books on my shelf about discipleship. In fact, in the office I used to have one time, I had huge letters on the wall that says, make disciples. Now, I put that there before I knew what it meant, hoping that I'd learn. I went everywhere I could. I remember going meeting with a guy in Oklahoma, Max Burnett, teach me how to disciple people. I drove to Wichita and spent a day with Leroy Imes from the Navigators. Show me how to make disciples. Because those are things that God would lay on my, I need to know how to do that. I need to grow in that area. So I get books, I go and meet with people, I do anything that I possibly can to be able to grow in the way that God wants me to grow. I want to always look at what are the trends that are coming up for the church. I may unpack some of this later on, but let me just give you a real quick view of some of the trends that we see happening. One trend is this, and it's not a new trend, it's a growing trend, and that's the trend of skepticism. More and more people are skeptical of the Bible, of God, and the church. They're skeptical. Many have even dropped out of church. How many churches do you think close their doors every year? Any guess? Between 3,000 and 4,000 churches in America close their doors every year, and that is a trend. Now, there is a good side of that. We're also seeing many, many new churches open up. But do you know the interesting thing is that most new churches don't start in a church building. They start in a school or in a storefront because they don't want to look like a church because people have given up on church. Now, another thing that's a trend is many churches, and here again, commend Northgate. Many churches come to the point that they realize they need to change. And what is happening is the revitalization of some churches because they realize where they are and they're going to do something about it. And so one of the things that we're looking at in the days ahead is that we know that this church, we have a capacity here about 800. So we got a few years here. But we're going to be training new people to take on another venue. In fact, Charlene and I are working with a church in Toronto, and we'll be going up there this spring, not January or February. We'll be going to Toronto in the spring, and they have 16 satellite sites. 16. Because they're going to where the people are and not necessarily coming. So home base is not necessarily the huge. The mega church will always exist, but the mega church is not the trend. Mega ministry is the trend. We're not about in the future making Briarcliff a mega church. We are about making Briarcliff a mega ministry that will blanket all of Kansas City. Where that's going to go, I do not know. But I know the trend, that we've got to watch that trend and make sure we're not investing in a telephone booth. Now, Jesus grew in what? In wisdom. What do you need to know you do not know now? And he grew also in what? Say it. A very interesting word is stature. It, first of all, it's talking about physically. He grew physically. But it talks about the stages of life. Every part of our life is in stages. In other words, we're a child, and then we become a student in school and high school and then perhaps college. Then become a young adult and perhaps even get married and maybe have children, have a family. And then there's a stage called empty nest, which some thank God for, some grieve over. But anyway, empty nest. About the time you hit empty nest, guess what else happens? You have to take care of aging parents. And so all of our lives are made in stages, and we grow differently and increase and move forward and need to know things differently in every stage of our life. That is true also in church. Church ministries have a shelf life. Bus ministry had a shelf life. Revivals have a shelf life. And you have a shelf life. All of us are going. So the question is, what stage in life are you, and how do you need to move forward in that stage of life that you're in right now? Let's talk about church a minute. In church, We can do things now that we cannot do 24 months ago. We're able to have a preschool and children's ministry that we were not able to have 24 months ago. Didn't have place for them, didn't have leadership for them. We have the capability of doing a lot of mission outside of this work. We have 5 mission opportunities in the works for this year, 2018. We could not even do 1 when we started. Now, 5. And as we move forward, our capability, as we have new leadership trained, we have new people, new talents, new gifts, new abilities, we can move forward as never before. The question is of you personally, how do you need to develop in your personal life, in this stage of your life? It is different. But just because you hit 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 doesn't mean in that stage there's not some development yet to go. When you're finished, God will come and get you and take you home. But you're not finished. You're not done until you're dead. And you keep on moving. But you have to understand, what I have to understand is I'm no longer in my 20s. And so I can't act like a 20. I tried to get into the 20s group and they won't let me. I have to grow in the stage of life that I am in. If you're in your 20s, you have to grow in the stage of life you're in. If you're a student in school, you have to grow in the stage of your life. And it's different in each one of those stages. How are you to grow in stature in this phase of your life? That's the question you have to answer in 2018. Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and what? And favor with. How do you need to grow in favor with God? Do you even know how to grow in favor with? What does it mean to grow in favor with God? Proverbs said it this way. Look at it. Chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your hearts. Then you will win what? Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. This love and faithfulness. Can you expand your ability to love? Can you become more faithful to God? Are you kind of off and on, hit and miss, whenever convenient, all that? What's your faithfulness level? What's your love level for somebody else? One area that I'm working with personally, if you want to know what I'm working on, one, is I reread Westminster thought of the purpose of our life is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And I looked at that and I thought, Vernon, do you know how to glorify God in your life? And the answer was, I'm not sure. So I spent about 6 weeks every morning trying to relook at what the scripture might say about glorifying God. I have 4 months of prayer guides developed just on how to glorify God. Do you know how to glorify God? Do you know what it means to glorify God? I don't know what it is. Maybe the fruit of the Spirit. You remember the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 33? Talks about love. Can you grow in that love? Joy? How's your joy cup doing? Peace? Patience? Kindness? Gentleness? Faithfulness? Self-control? How do you need to grow? Because this is the fruit of God's Spirit. So if you're going to grow in relationship to God, you grow in becoming a more fruitful person. And then last, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and what? Man. Relationships. Any relationship you need to work on? Any conflict? Any bridges perhaps that you burned? Any relationships in which you need to forgive somebody? That's a tough one, because most of the time they don't deserve to be forgiven. And you choose to forgive them or let it eat you up on the inside, one of the two. They're not going to lose, you're going to lose if you don't forgive. How do you need to grow in relationship? What about an unchurched person? Do you have three that come to mind real quickly that you pray for every day? Do you need to develop about? We got one lady in our small group on Wednesday night that is working to develop a relationship with her neighbor. And she wants to bring her to exploring faith. Do you have somebody that you could bring exploring faith? And her neighbor respectfully declined her invitation to come, but she did say, I'd like to keep meeting with you for coffee. Do you have someone like that? An unchurched person said, I'd like to continue the meeting. Or do you live in a telephone booth rather than the world that around us? And let the world go to hell if it pleases. Or you say, I'm going to do something on that. I'm going to grow in favor with some people. They'll be life-changing. And sometimes that can be scary because you're not sure what they'll ask you. You know, one of my standard answers a lot of times, I don't know, but I'll work with you to try to find out. There's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know. You're not Mr. Answer Man for everything. Don't try to be. Care for them. Listen to them. Ask some questions. Now, we've talked about moving forward. We never want to forget where we've come from. We never want to forget our past. We are here. Think about it for a moment. You that are Christians, who is most influential in you becoming a Christian? Do you give them thanks very often? Do you thank God for them? You're here today because somebody influenced you to be here in some way. Never stop looking back. Now let's look back a little bit farther. Never stop looking back to the cross, because we have no future if there is no cross and resurrection. So never take our eyes off of the cross. Never take our eyes off of the resurrection. Never take our eyes off of the price that was paid for our redemption to set us free to move forward. And until we've experienced that, you're not free to move forward in the way that God has planned for you. So we're going to have the Lord's Supper as a way of reminding us of a past that allows us to move forward in 2018. Would you pray with me? Father, we're so very grateful that we have a future that we can honestly say our hope for the future is built on a solid rock. And that solid rock is you, Jesus, that died on the cross and was resurrected for our sin. And you paid it all. You paid it all. That's the only way. That's the only hope that I have a future. That I can look forward to heaven. That I can look forward to something beyond the grave. That I can look forward to any purpose in my life in the days ahead. Without looking back to what you did, I have no forward to move to that's meaningful any whatsoever. Thank you, Lord. And so as we take this cup this morning, as we take this bread, and we just hold it in our hands for a moment, let us just meditate on the past, And as your scripture says, we do it until you come again. Now we look at the future. Let us meditate on that and worship you before we take these elements. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.